us today, but it does have some application, and it has been a source of controversy for Baptist people for a long time, because as we look through into Baptist history, you'll see that one of the criticisms that Baptist people had directed against them in the 1600s, 1700s, or even the 1500s in England was that they refused to take an oath. That is, they would not swear allegiance to their king. They would not take an oath to tell the truth, because they looked at these statements that Jesus makes here and applied them directly to themselves, and therefore they would not, as we say in America, swear on a Bible or swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, nor would they swear allegiance to an officer in the military or to a monarch. And this created really serious problems. And as you read church history, you'll read of the people like the Waldenses, who really had no problem with this. And as early as 800, they still would affirm their loyalty to the proper secular authorities. So it's really, I don't think we see many people today who are saying, I will not take an oath in court, though I do recall some people in my early ministry who had said that as an individual they preferred never to be put under oath, assuming that there was some evil connected with it. But today we hear very little about it, except from the other side. Today, atheists, agnostics, and others will not swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help me God, since they don't believe in God and refuse to take an oath using the name of God. Now our court systems have accommodated that kind of philosophy by simply allowing people to affirm that they tell the truth, and that is considered then to be under oath, if you will simply say, I do affirm that the testimony I am about to give is the truth. I'm not sure in all courts, but I know in most courts now it is considered to be acceptable, and for a person to have been sworn in with that kind of statement. Our constitutional officers in the state of Arkansas are still sworn in by the Bible and by an oath on the Bible. Our president, vice president, and others are sworn in. Our constitutional officers in the national government are sworn in. So it's still used a great deal, but not exactly as it was in the days of Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 5:33, again you have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. Now Jesus is talking about the performing of an oath here. He's not talking about making an oath or not making an oath. He's simply saying that people should always perform an oath that they make. Once again, or as some translators state, addressing another issue, you've heard of the ancients, thou shalt not forswear, and the forswear here is to swear falsely, or not to keep an oath that we may have made, but thou shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. Perform here means to deliver over or to give in full. And it means to keep in every respect the oaths that we make unto God. An oath is simply a statement or a number of statements that we make that we will do or will not do a certain thing. And then in order to bind it, we invoke the name of God. Paul wrote in Hebrews of God swearing by himself, since he could swear by no greater. When God made a promise, then God invoked his own name, since there was not a greater name by which he could swear. So they were under this statement once again. You have heard that hath been said, thou shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. Very simple statement, one that was a teaching of the Jewish religion. Evidently, though, the Jews had found some way of manipulating this so that they could say they never broke it, and yet they didn't have to keep it in its totality. And it is this that Jesus points out and condemns. They evidently, according to verses 34 and 35 and 36, were involved in this kind of thinking. Now, I want to make an oath or take an oath, and I intend to swear that I will or will not do certain things. And in order to make that binding, I will swear, will for instance say, by heaven. Now that's got some real serious inferences in it. But I have sworn by heaven. I have not sworn by Almighty God. And therefore, I am not bound to perform this oath to its ultimate. They evidently sometimes would swear by the earth, or perhaps swear by the city Jerusalem. Take it as the binding statement. I will do this or I won't do this, and I swear that I will or won't do it by the holy city of Jerusalem. Now, to invoke Jerusalem, to invoke the earth, to invoke heavens, this was considered to be not as serious as invoking the name of Almighty God. In fact, they were even invoking the grayness of their hair as a sign or token that they were telling the truth. A person might say, I will do this, and I swear by my gray hair that I will do it, using it to give credence or credibility to the oath that they have taken. So Jesus said, but I say unto you, you should not bind yourselves to any oath at all. The object we swear by is trying to avoid the use of God's name. Nonetheless, God is vitally connected to the names that they were using. For instance, swear not by heaven, for it is God's throne. So when you swear by heaven instead of swearing by God, you've still invoked God's power and presence because the heavens are his throne. When you take an oath by the earth and swear by the earth you will not do something, then you have taken an oath that you invoke the footstool of God. So you have still used the very area of God's influence in your oath. Neither by Jerusalem. Why? For it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. Now that's changed, of course. In our age we can, but you get the point. To invoke one's gray hairs as a sign of truth telling, or as the affirmation of an oath. What is best, Jesus said, but let your communication, and here's not lifestyle. Many times that word communication means lifestyle, but here it is logos, which means the word, and therefore it has to do with what we say. So let your words, your speaking be yea, which is a solid affirmation that we would say we could imitate by saying certainly. The word nay is a full and direct negation. So when we're asked, we can say yes or we can say no, and that is sufficient. That's enough if our heart is right with God and our lives are right with God, then we don't have to swear in order for people to believe us. And I think this is what Jesus is talking about, that we, if we are living by the spirit of the law, then we can say to someone, I did this, and they believe us. Our word really becomes our bond. If someone asks us, did you do this? And we say no, which is a strong negative, they will say, well, I know you didn't do it because you tell the truth. But if we play around the edges and we get caught in untruths, or we swear something and then we do not fulfill the swearing of that oath, then we have to say more and more things to impress people that we're telling the truth. You know, children have a sort of a very strange way of impressing upon other kids they're telling the truth. You know, cross my heart and hope to die. I don't think so, but that's what we say, isn't it? And if you say that you're telling the truth, cross my heart and hope to die, and you've got your fingers crossed behind your back, then you're not bound by it, isn't that right? You know how, have you ever noticed how kids can just go on and on, cross my heart and hope to die, and on and on and on, I am telling the truth, and the other kids said, yeah, but do so and so. Well, I know, we try to impress people we're telling the truth. Our lives ought to be of such a nature that we do not have to do that. And that's what Jesus meant when he said, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. That is, what goes beyond these things has a hint of evil in it. Shakespeare, who's certainly not a biblical person, but caught the spirit of this thing when he said, methinks thou dost protest too much. And sometimes I think people may not be telling the truth when they swear and affirm and state and cross my heart and go through all these things to impress upon you that they're telling the truth. You sort of get an idea that the very opposite may be the truth. These are oaths that one makes or takes in regard to the work of God, and they should be fulfilled. We don't normally go into these kinds of things, such as vows, such as the vow of the Nazarite. We don't find anything like this in the New Testament church. In fact, the Bible doesn't teach us that we ought to vow. But if we do vow, we ought to keep it. If in the heat of some serious illness of your child or your wife or your husband, and you took a vow, Lord, if you will let my husband live, my wife live, my child live, I promise and vow before you that I will never miss another service. If you take that kind of vow, you ought to keep it. Because that's what Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 4 and 5 tells us. And they say, better is it not to vow than you should take a vow and not pay it. So be very careful about taking vows and making God promises, because they're exactly the same thing. Proverbs 20 and 25 teaches us not to be rash or hasty in our vows. And when we look at Jephthah, who made a very foolish vow in order to invoke God's help in conquering an enemy, we can see the foolishness of that vow that he made. Now, I don't think personally, as I studied this, that it includes one swearing in court of the law to tell the truth. I think you can put your hand on a Bible in a court of law and affirm or swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, without violating this statement or these precepts that Jesus stated here. But it has been a point of controversy down through the years as to whether we should or should not do that. But I think that Jesus is saying, do not forswear. That's what the original commandment says, our statement says. That's what they'd been taught by the ancient ones. Do not forswear to fulfill your oaths. But Jesus is saying, look, don't get out of your oath by saying, I didn't swear by God, I swore by the earth, because the earth is his footstool. Don't say, I didn't swear by God, I swore by heaven, because heaven is his throne. And don't say, well, I swear that I'm telling the truth by the city of Jerusalem, the mother city. Don't do that, because that's the place where the great king resides. And don't even say, I swear I'm telling the truth by the gray hair in my head. That belongs to God too. So there's no way that you and I can diminish our being bound to tell the truth by invoking something other than the name of Jehovah God. It all amounts to the same thing. You can't get out of it by saying, well, I didn't swear by Almighty God. I just swore by one of the church pews. So everybody knows that church pew is not that important, so I don't have to tell the truth, or I don't have to keep my word. And that's the kind of stuff the Pharisees did, and then could say, but I haven't broken the law that says, thou shalt not forswear to keep thine oath. I didn't break my oath, because I didn't make the kind of oath that you have to make in order to break it like God says we shouldn't break it. And it was simply an outward righteousness that they assigned to themselves rather than inward righteousness that sought to fulfill the spirit of the law and not the letter. Let's stand together and we'll be dismissed, because I do not see any visitors here this evening or any that have not professed their faith in the Lord, either publicly or privately. And as we pray and ask God's blessings upon our service today and upon our departure, Brother Darrell Ray, would you word it, please?